Hello, and welcome to the Scotchcast. This is the Giant Bomb Guild Wars 2 Community's off-topic podcast. I'm your host, Self-Success Cynic, and joining me today is Noobarama.
Fusroda! You get where that's from? That's from Skyrim. Playing Skyrim right now, arrow to the knee, lol.
Oh my god.
Fusroda!
That's... But it doesn't make sense, because he says it properly in the game.
No, but it's like Fusroda! And then you push them back.
That is not how he says it.
To the knee.
It's Fusroda. Isn't that how it's...
Fusroda.
Fusroda.
I just made the noise right now. It's Fusroda.
So it's like Daytona, but... Fusroda.
No. It's Fusroda. It's all one word.
Also joining us today is Thurbleton.
Is keeping things topical, I'm playing Spelunky.
Oh man, it's been a while since we've done one of these. 2 weeks, I guess. I don't know. Last week, everything just went to shit. We couldn't get something out. Whatever. So if you hear clicking and or Pokemon music, it's because I don't know. There's games
okay,
to play.
Here, here's
so
what
many
it is.
Games to play.
Listeners, there's a lot of like silly dumb games to play that I think this is like the quiet before the storm of console generations and all that.
Uh-huh.
But also Pokemon X came out, which is why we haven't done the Lincoln cast, because all the people who are on the Lincoln cast are consumed by that game. Like I'm going to drag the only person I was able to drag out of the Poke swamp.
Yep.
Was Cynic here, and he'll just be talking nonstop about that, I'm sure. But
yeah,
I've never played Pokemon super wanted... in my life.
You've missed out, man. We've missed out because
you
got to
catch them all.
I'm 25 years old, which is probably out of the age range for Pokemon. Probably.
Well, to be fair, like I think the average player is at this point like 20 something.
Yeah,
I would say.
But the point is, like, I'm 25, but I got into Pokemon when I was like 12. And I'm one of those people who never stops loving things when I start loving them. So, yeah, I don't think I'll ever stop playing Pokemon. And I think a lot of people in our age range still play Pokemon because they played it when they were kids. And this,
like, people who watch children's anime are mostly 20 years old. And people who watch My Little Pony aimed at 7-year-olds have to be 20. You're just a part of that group. There's nothing wrong with that. You're just another brony.
Wait, Pokemon-y? Pokemon-y? I'm trying to trying
Pokebron.
To Pokebron. Pokebro. I'm a Pokebro.
Fucking wrong. Oh god.
So wrong, but
so Thurbleton is playing Spelunky, I'm playing Pokemon, Noobarama's playing Skyrim. This is gonna be a great podcast.
I might be switching to Hearts of Iron. Be switching to Hearts of Iron.
But before then, let's talk about what we've been playing and actually vocalize about them rather than just hitting buttons. Who wants to start? Thurbleton, are you still in that crazy Spelunky run, or have you died yet?
I die, but I'm, as always, you just stop the current run, start a new one.
I've
talked in the past episodes about Spelunky. It's a game that was made originally in Game Maker, I think for free or for super cheap on the PC. Then they did a cleaned up version that's like for Xbox, and that's where a lot of the popularity came from. And then they have since done a HD version on Steam that you can get for PC.
Right.
I think last Scotchcast, can't remember which one, but I talked about the Spelunky Explorers Club, which is a bunch of people who do the daily challenge. Which is every day there's one seed, because all the other times it's randomly generated, that everyone has one shot at. And I've sort of gotten just enjoyed watching people doing it so much, I finally started doing it myself and recording it. And it's been crazy fun just trying to understand that, like, this game epitomizes easy to learn, insanely difficult to master.
Yeah.
I almost killed myself by throwing a rock at my face. I didn't even know I could do that or that was a thing.
Nice. Wait, how does that work? In what context can you do that? Because you can.
I ended up watching in slow motion.
Yeah.
But I think the rock was facing to the right and I threw it to the left.
Yeah. And then you ran that direction as well, or?
No, I was just like, that's all I could think of what happened. That or I threw myself at the bat and I dropped the rock, but I don't think that's what happened.
Nice. So you've been recording yourself playing the daily challenge, and now it's on what, YouTube.com/Conrad Kirby or something like that? We'll probably put in the plugs.
Yeah, if you look Conrad Kirby, you'll find some like climbing videos. I think it's YouTube.com. I'll look it up and post the links.
Yeah.
If you want to watch real people playing it, you could go to the Splunky Explorers Club. If you want to watch me fail a bunch of times,
are you not a real person anymore?
No, he's not. Clearly not.
No, I'm not MLG pro status. I don't know why. It's just insanely fun to play. I've also did a little bit of Cards Against Humanity with some friends. That's still an awesome game people should look into.
Yep.
As someone Guild who's Wars, been playing for a long time of Cards Against Humanity, is it just as long as you play with new people, it continues to be interesting?
That's what I find.
It's fun with new people, and what I like, because I got into it later in its like developed cycle, I guess is the way to put it. I went into the expansions first, and then like there are still cards in the main deck I didn't know existed, and so that is fun. Just like finding those, like a little diamond in the rough sort of thing. Like, oh, I didn't know that was a card. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like one thing, totally. Like I've sort of gotten used to saying some of those cards, like in real life phrases as like analogies. Mm-hmm. Some of those make you seem like, because I mentioned, I don't know what it was, but I related something to a hanger coat abortion, and people find that really offensive.
Well, yes.
So just saying, in like everyday conversation, stuff like that doesn't seem to fit in.
Coat hanger abortions are not. They're not PC.
They're
outside the realms of PC, and you probably shouldn't use them in general vernacular. Yes. I don't know. Like my favorite memories, it all depends on who you play with. And the hard thing about finding new people to play with is obviously hoping that the new group of people is interesting to play with. But when I started playing with my friends at home, and I'm going to say play as many times as possible, I got 99 problems but a blank ain't one, and I got the card bitch. And it was,
that's just like, it's times like that where the meta just works so well.
Like some people prefer like stuff like that where it's like more wittier than like straight up funny, and they award points like that. So it's like playing to people, which I enjoy more than anything.
Yeah, but it's weird because we ended up playing without a card czar. We did a voting system. So it was it turned out really well because you get splits of people thinking, like some people thinking one card set was funnier, other people thinking other card sets were funnier. Then you have like the politics as well of going, okay, well he has the most black cards, whatever it is, so I'm not going to vote for his, even though he's slightly funnier than the other one. So I'm going to vote for there's things like that. So
really, voting, I enjoy that the most. People are like, oh, like, this person has too many points, so I'm going to pretend to be someone else or something like that. That's sort of weird and fun.
I'm curious if that only works when there's like an odd number of people.
No, we did it with an even number of people, and then when it was a pure tie, we'd just do scissors, paper, rock, or rock, paper, scissors, how you want to say it.
Scissors, paper, rock.
Because, you know.
What?
You know.
Scissors, paper, stone, I think is how the British say it, right?
Really? Yeah. I don't know. But either way, that we just settled disputes that way because otherwise it would have come to blows. But it would work great if you had an odd number of people. I think it works fine if you have an even number of people. But either way, it's Cards Against Humanity is awesome because they encourage house rules. You can just bring in whatever you want and just adapt the game. So if you are stuck with playing with the same group of people over and over, you can do that to change things up. And sometimes it works.
Yeah, my favorite house rule, if anybody wants to try it, is it's actually in the game rules, but the haiku.
So hard.
Oh yeah.
God,
but there's no real winner. It's just everyone gets a chance to make a funny story. Like I don't follow the like 5-7-5 thing. It's just like, hey, use your cards to make a funny story. Go.
Our house rule is if you actually make a haiku with the haiku deck, like that option.
It's super meta.
Doesn't matter how funny it is, you win. What were we talking about before Cards Against Humanity? Oh, yeah, so Spelunky, Cards Against Humanity. Anything else, Doubleton?
Let's see. Let me check the Steam list. But I've been playing some Guild Wars, getting ready for the league to start. Shimbo, I think, is more excited about that than I am. But it's just, I just am seeing it like an observer from what like the players and whatnot are like. It's something I'm very curious about still, though. Right. Definitely not. It's not enticing me in the same way, but it is enticing me all the same. Man. And I've been playing around though, looking for group system.
Cool.
Oh, they added that?
Yeah, that's been implemented. And
Durin now playing Guild Wars, or is that
no?
Durin
is still not playing Guild Wars.
Yeah, he's still playing Final Fantasy. I've heard him multiple times saying, "Once they add that, I will definitely be playing Guild Wars all the time." Does he know that exists?
I don't know. I don't think he knows any games exist beyond Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, at this moment.
So fucking wow, he really likes that game, doesn't he?
And he was gonna buy a 3DS for Pokemon, but. No, I don't think he. I think Final Fantasy is ruling his life. But so, how has that worked out for you, Thobleton? How's Guild Wars at the moment?
Guild Wars, it seems strong, but not super active. I think it doesn't seem super active only because there's no real event right now. The current event is a dungeon, which you can't
isn't
really
Halloween
tell.
Coming up?
The Halloween is coming on the Spoke. Okay. And if the Licking Cast guys could be bothered, we'd be talking about that right now.
Yep. What's it looking like to be? Like, have they dropped hints about it or anything like that?
More the same for Prince or the Mad King, but there's also like his son, mm-hmm. the Prince of Blood.
Ooh, I didn't know that showing up.
I didn't know either, and we'll find out next Tuesday.
It's gonna be this cool Tuesday. Maybe Noob and I will jump in at some point to see the Halloween stuff.
I finally got a terabyte external hard drive, so I just popped that in there so I can pop that back out whenever I want to.
Yay.
Woo. Yay.
I don't need to download it again.
But yes, how's the LFG tool? Does it to describe it to me, because have they made it good?
Basically, it has like a list of different things, like whether it be the living story or zone exploration or anything like that. And then there's an option for dungeons. Mm-hmm. When you're doing dungeons, it gives you the lists that are suggested for your level or highlighted. So if you're doing like a level 47, it only shows the first two dungeons, the 30 and the 40. And then once you click on that, a list appears of however many active groups are looking for people, and it shows an icon for each class that is in the group currently. So if you got like three warriors and an Ellie or something, it's got the three warrior symbol as an Ellie.
Okay.
And then a brief description that you can mouse over, and it'll say the full description of like, you'll only bring your 80 looking for heavy DPS speedruns.
Fuck you. Has that been the format of the descriptions you've seen?
That's been the common. I mean, like, they don't say speedrun. It's just assumed you're going to be doing everything in the most efficient way possible.
Fantastic.
Okay, so I don't want to go into Guild Wars too much, but...
We can, like, whatever. We haven't done a Linky Cast
Do you think the system... Like, do you wonder why they didn't just port the system they used in the original into the second one immediately? Like,
What do you mean?
I can't remember. Like, I'm trying to remember what was so faulty about the original group system.
I don't remember the original group system. Also, your microphone is playing up, but I don't remember. Like
right. Please stand by for technical difficulties. Apologies to everyone whose ears we just destroyed there.
Sorry. We won't edit that out.
No, we're not. That was too funny. No, wait. So what was the original LFG system? I don't remember that being. I don't think
just
there was an
LFG
system.
And then your thing got ported in like a browser bar. And it's like you could hire henchmen through that bar and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
It was like super simple, but
I never fucking use that. That's all right,
I mean,
sure.
I think there's some difficulty with this one because it is an open world. It's not just a ton of instant stuff, so they couldn't just do like you can't hire henchmen to do the living story beat with you.
Yeah, but wait, so it's essentially okay. From the LFG tool, what patterns have you seen in groups that are looking for people to do dungeons with? It's mainly speedrunners and high level stuff, or are there
It's not that it's mainly speedrunners. It's that it's hard to find a group of people who are like, hey, we're going to do it the natural way.
Right.
I've done like half a dozen groups so far, mainly just the lower dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, yeah, we just want to do like only fast routes. Like you still net you like a golden a half of just raw stuff, not to mention stuff to sell, and so people still just do like it's hey, we're going to skip this boss, hey, we're going to stack on this one spot, and all like no matter what group, it's this like code of the like unwritten law
mm-hmm.
of anybody who tries to do something otherwise, like fight in the actual middle of the room instead of off in the corner, is crazy and should get booted.
Right. Yeah, and there's the
kick. That's like always something. The case for like speedruns and stuff like that. Trying to do it more efficient. Like, I can't think of a way for them not to ever, like, that's just a human thing rather than a game thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The people who'd be still playing Dungeons now, almost a year after release, like, it's that you'd totally be looking at the people who would be doing hardcore runs.
They're just doing it for money.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. They're just doing it for the, like, what is the most efficient time versus money spent? Yeah,
exactly.
If you want to do, like, if it's your first time, you can always use it to pick up, like, a fourth or fifth person and just say in the description, first time run, do not expect to go fast or anything. And yeah, people may join on that.
That'd be fun.
But if you want just, like, a relaxed, casual time, bring a good high people. DPS. Right. Otherwise, do a guild run or something if you want, like, a challenge.
Yeah, I think it might be, if I get time for it in this glut of releases, it might be time for me to look at all the explorable pods or explorable dungeons that I haven't done yet.
You know what? I think to do that, we should reactivate DFC.
Oh, man. Yeah, we should totally just jump into DFC. Just all over that DFC.
What?
Let's not
I'm talk talking about the guild.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Okay.
So I'm talking about two, right? Sure. Also, your mic is fucking up.
Okay.
I love it
sounds like he's like an air flight controlman now.
This is the level of quality this show has ascended to, and I'm sort of proud.
Anyway, so Thermaltons, everything's been cool on the Guild Wars front. Anything else interesting to talk about before we move on?
Other interesting things to talk about? Played Arma. Other than that, that's it. Yeah. We could talk about. Do we want to talk about the Stanley Parable demo? Did you play that when I linked it to
you? Oh, dude. So I saw it, and then I saw it was a demo, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to play that." And then I didn't.
All right.
What was it? What is the Stanley Parable? You seemed really excited, and I didn't. It just the demo is all like the description for the demo is almost nonsensical, which is somewhat interesting, but also kind of confusing. Like, what is the Stanley Parable?
Okay, the Stanley Parable, in a meta sense, is just like somebody made a Half-Life 2 mod and called it the Stanley Parable, where you're walking around in almost Dear Esther style, like, of an office room.
Right.
I don't think it's a story of, like, a man's fatal accident sort of thing.
Of love and loss and everything in between.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yep.
It's humorous. It's a humorous
thing. Yeah, it's much more dry humor. There's a British announcer who, like, a narrator who's making fun of you every now and then. But anyway, the team that made the mod started developing a full high-res version of it, and people got behind it. They're close to release. I think by the time this podcast comes out, it will be out for you to get. They also made a demo. I don't know, like 10, 20 bucks.
$20?
You look it up while I talk about the demo.
Holy fuck.
Oh, noob.
Anyway, they made a demo for it, and everything in the demo, as far as everyone believes, is not part of the main game.
So I saw screen caps of it, and it's not look familiar at all from the Half-Life 2 mod I've played.
Yeah, it's like he's just setting up what the demo is like, and I think the essence of the Stanley Parable is to just go along with the ride and try not to make sense of it. It'll make sense at the end, maybe.
Right.
And it's a lot of dry humor, a lot of like, I don't know what's going on, but okay.
So it's just you looking around an office. Like, is that the long and short?
No, you're walking around.
No,
it's the man. I'm trying to think of there's a movie like it, but I don't remember the name of the movie. So there you go.
Great.
Here's the brief synopsis from Steam.
Okay.
And I'll try to use my British voice. The Stanley Parable is a first-person exploration game. You will play as Stanley, and you will not play as Stanley. You will follow a story. You will not follow a story. You will have a choice. You will have no choice. The game will end. The game will never end. And that's it.
Yeah. Exactly. I was, and by the way, thanks, Mr. Walks, for your like little short stint there, and yeah, you can leave. Just leave the door open on your way out. It's pretty hot in here. No, wait. So,
He came over to your house?
Yeah, what? He came over to my house and then narrated this Damnly Parable thing. That was actually pretty good. What I'm trying to say is that was actually a pretty convincing voice.
Yeah, that was
really
good.
Yeah.
I get bored a lot and do dumb voices. In case it hasn't been obvious in the course of this podcast history. Yeah.
So, like, the images I can see in this... Okay, so the Stanley Parable, it's just a picture of a desk with a old-school computer monitor on it, and any other things I click on are just images of within a office or a library. And I looking at this, I have no idea what this game about and if it's even remotely interesting. So, like, what do you do?
It's Dear Esther, it's a walkthrough style.
Okay.
But there seems to be some puzzle elements of it, like, of... Okay, it seems like Dear Esther style gameplay in the setting of Antechamber.
Okay.
Like I've seen trailers and footage of like a guy walks down a hallway, comes to a dead end, turns around, and like goes back and forth in this hallway until eventually the hallway changes.
Okay, all right. So it's kind of just and a so little exploration-y game. Yeah,
it plays with your mind, I think. Some. I don't know, it's insanely curious, and at the very least, it's definitely something to watch on the Twitch or YouTubes of people playing it. I first found out about the demo through GameSpot's Twitch channel of it, and it was just hilarious being part of the chat talking about it and the people on the stream talking about it, and it's insanely silly. Like, at the very least, everyone listening should, like, check out the demo as it is free in, like, 30 minutes.
Awesome. Yeah, so it's straight up a demo, and I don't know, how much do you think the demo would invite people to play the game if they're entirely different things? Like, is there a reason?
Well, it's entirely different, like, in terms of art assets and all that, but I think the theme of it is the same.
Okay.
Like, the theme of, like, okay, this is what you expected to happen, and they've thrown a curveball at you, and you just have to go with it.
I'd love to see. I can't wait to track the reactions of this, of people going, "Oh, but I wanted something like the demo," or so. I'd wonder if that would happen. I don't know.
That would be hilarious. I hope there's at least one comment for this game of "I just want it to be more like the demo."
Yeah, that would be weird and interesting, especially since it's like the demo has been made clearly after they made the original Stanley Parable, so they've obviously been able to ruminate on it for a bit longer. So they could do something more interesting than the actual game. Who knows?
I would not be surprised if the full version is completely different from what the original mod was.
That would be good.
Or the HD version. It's because the person with the guy making it, when Patrick Klepek did it in Worth Playing, whatever the Giant Bomb feature was, he talks about how the developer probably is making this metaphor with this comment in the narrator's speech or something of this is him making fun of game developers and trying to walk you through stuff or making being scared about demos and stuff.
Right. Either way.
Yes. That is another game that is coming out.
Standing by, we'll check that out. But there is one more thing I know you have done, Doubleton, that I want to talk about. And this is a kind of gray area for people at home. So we've talked about Let's Plays before, and it's a kind of odd space where you haven't played a game, yet you've consumed almost all of its content in a different way than originally intended. So you're left in a position where you can be somewhat critical of a game, but also not entirely critical of a game. For example, a lot of people have watched The Last of Us, but if anyone tried to, for example, criticize that game in a number of ways, especially when it comes to pacing, etc., and they tell me that they've only seen the Let's Play, then my response is that it isn't a very good representation of the game, and pacing feels different when you're playing it versus actually watching it, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of nuance there as to how critical you can be when you're playing Let's Play. However, David Cage is a man who is famous for making games that are perhaps more movie than game. Like, Thurbleton, have you seen much of David Cage's stuff before?
I've seen Jesse Cox's old playthroughs of Fahrenheit, I want to say, is the other game.
Yes, Fahrenheit. God damn it. Oh, that playthrough was both infuriating and hilarious at the same time. So do you have did you have any preconceptions of a David Cage piece before you watched Beyond Two Souls?
I knew it would be weird, and yes, I watched Beyond Two Souls, the playthrough, the movie.
Yeah, the movie, the game.
That is what we'll be talking about.
I don't think that in this case, I think you can be pretty close to in terms of, like, your reactions to someone who's actually played it, because goddamn it, as much as I've seen that game and the fact that you do use the thumbsticks to execute some of the actions, it looks like a movie that just happens to be a video game at the same time. Or it happens to require player input to continue playing. Like, does that seem accurate to you? Or do you think that the game actually progresses to something more of like an action-y game at some point?
The only time that seemed like very action-y was, and this might piss off some listeners, there's a scene where you're doing like a lot of stealth stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, having done very little of it, it reminded me of like some Metal Gear Solid, like stealth sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've seen that because she. So we're talking about Beyond Two Souls. This is a game where it's starring Ellen Page. It's a PlayStation 3 exclusive, published by Sony, directed by David Cage, who's famous for things like Fahrenheit, Heavy Rain, etc. So it follows a girl who has a ghost attached to her in some way, shape, or form. Like linked
she has
to
an
her?
Entity attached to her.
Yeah.
Since birth.
Okay, exactly, yeah, since birth, and since she was a kid. And so you're kind of following her story as she grows up. Well, Thoubleton, can you form a synopsis that isn't spoilery in terms of like, because she gets into some crazy stuff with the military, etc. And you've seen that in the trailers, but I don't know how much I can say.
First off, the way the game is portrayed is it does an insane amount of cuts to different depths of time.
Right.
And I think they do that to sort of pace, like there are times in your life that are very like traumatic and changing of the story. Mm-hmm. And obviously if you did that chronologically, it wouldn't be good structurally for telling a good story. Like you don't want to have all the crazy story beats happen right at the beginning or in the middle. So it's sort of like chapters and acts. Well, I don't know if you put it in acts, but there's definitely big, thick chapters and maybe little like jump cuts in between the chapters as well. Yeah. It's the story of Jody as she tries to find her place in the world with this crazy spirit entity thing she calls Aiden. And then she also goes like weird side stuff like a Navajo journey. But yeah, there's a part where she's working with Navajo Indians and it's just like it is the I'm just going to wander the earth part of her life.
Okay, interesting. So all right, so that's the actual synopsis. That's kind of what you can expect from the game. She gets into some military stuff, she goes on the soul vision quest, etc.
Yeah, she goes on a vision quest.
She goes on a vision
use
quest
that.
And for people who've seen Fahrenheit, so Fahrenheit was about like this death cult who were like trying to freeze the world over in an eternal storm, but you didn't know that to start with. So it starts with you as a dude and you commit murder and then forget that you were the one that had committed the murder. So you are actually guilty, but you don't remember any of it. So you kind of just run away from the police and try to track down what made you do that. And it turns out this death cult was controlling your mind and a bunch of shit goes crazy sideways halfway through. So in that one, it starts crazy but rooted in reality. And by the end of that game, you are like flying through the air and punching dudes through space.
Yeah, you're like Superman or something, right?
Yeah, essentially. Well, you're an undead ghost god thing by the end of it.
Yeah.
Depending on what ending you choose. And you have sex with the main female protagonist. And it's quite graphic. And David Cage, by the sounds of things, hasn't strayed away from introducing adult themes into this game. But either way, so the point I was making was he goes kind of crazy. Like he starts with an interesting plot, like a mystery or something like that. But then he inevitably introduces a shitload of like paranormal and just out and out craziness to his games that I find kind of annoying because if he'd stuck to the normal stuff, I think he would have done a more interesting job. But the difference between that and this is this game starts crazy. You are a girl with an entity linked to you in some way, yeah. shape, or form. So how did you like Beyond Two Souls? Like, if you were to look at it as a whole, do you think it actually executed upon its premise? And would you recommend someone to play it or at least watch it?
Well, could you clarify what the premise is?
Oh, man.
Because I did. Okay, at the end of it, I was like, I didn't know what to think. It's like, okay, it wasn't bad.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if it was good just because I don't know how to follow it.
Right. So
he seemed to tie everything in.
So was it incomprehensible by the end of it, like Fahrenheit was? Or did you get an idea? Does the story have a start, a middle, and an end?
Well, yes. It has a definite start.
Uh-huh.
Screw it. Yeah, there's multiple endings, but there are endings.
Yep. Okay.
Apologies if that was a spoiler to anybody.
No, the whole old David Cage games. Except maybe Heavy Rain. Yeah, Heavy Rain had multiple endings as well, if you die early and stuff like that. But yeah, no, like, just straight up, what I meant was it an engaging and interesting experience? And what about it did you like or not like?
That is a tough question.
Yeah, because these games are kind of different to other games. Like, for example, I can easily describe to you The Last of Us, its plot, its stylings, its influences, how it progressed, how it came to a conclusion, and whether I liked that conclusion. Because it's a very, both well set out, but also very traditionally set out game. In this case, let's just break down the question. What did you like about what you've experienced with Beyond Two Souls?
It had good graphics. Damn graphics, real good. He does a good job of making, like, following standard, like, story / movie tropes.
Uh-huh.
Almost too much. Like, there's parts you're like, okay, this is nice. I probably, like, this is, it would be silly if this is how the story played out.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes later, god damn it, it just played out that way.
And he does like that. Like, David Cage has always liked to reference or at least inference movies in his games. And it's kind of crazy because I think he's responded to interviews saying that he wants to make games like movies, but doesn't want to make movies. Which is kind of crazy because he seems like infatuated with movies and how they do things or like tropes that have been expressed in movies and before and bringing those things to games. So it's such an odd gray area, especially if you start comparing him with people like Kojima, but I won't do that now. So how about let's switch to the other side of that coin. What did you not like about Beyond Two Souls?
I didn't really feel attached to the character, like the characters too much. There were a couple that was like, it's sweet and all, but I didn't really feel... a couple of support characters I felt like, you know, some attachment to, but other than that, really wasn't much.
Is that because, so why would you think that is? Do you think, was it the writing that kind of got in the way of the game, or was it the pacing or the structure? Like, what part of it made you feel like you didn't quite execute on the character building?
I would say the writing. The pacing was actually very good. Like, with all the jump cuts, he does a good job of doing the pacing for that.
Man. That seems like such an interesting... And overall, do you think... Because to me, that sounds pretty damning. Like, for a game that's all about the story, essentially, there's barely any gameplay to it. You're kind of just flicking the sticks in various directions for the majority of the game. To say that the characters weren't particularly engrossing, that sounds like it's... I wouldn't necessarily spend money on it. Nubarama, your microphone's dying.
Hello, this is TC1533 coming in for a landing on...
I'll just stay muted.
El Gordo.
Let's do that, okay?
It just seems like something that sounds like something I don't want to even remotely experience. Like, how about you? Would you recommend...
Okay, so So it's like if Call of Duty had really boring and repetitive gameplay. It'd be just like, what's the point of playing it? But luckily, Call of Duty is constantly something new.
It plays excellently, and it has... In real life, Call of Duty is a pretty interesting roller coaster kind of experience.
Yeah, I mean, like, considering the gameplay changes every year, mm-hmm. it's fucking amazing. Like, how could they overhaul a first-person shooter into the same first-person shooter like that, the same end for 5 years? It's ridiculous.
But yes. I hate to say it, but he's making a convincing argument.
So, Thorvaldsen, what do you say? Would you recommend Beyond Two Souls?
It's, like, I actually... When I was watching it, I came to the decision of, like, okay, I am watching something that somebody, like, they spend a lot of big budget on. I feel kind of bad watching basically all the work they've done for free.
And it's a total moral gray area at the moment. Like, personally, I try not to watch games I haven't bought or games that have released really recently. But in this case, I might just buy it. I'll watch Jesse Cox's playthrough, and if I like it, I'll just buy the game. But either way, like... Yes, I jumped in all over you. Continue what you were saying.
Basically, what I was going to say was I will probably buy it on when it's on sale on Steam. Like it seems like that kind of worth for me.
Sale on PSN because it's a PlayStation 3 exclusive.
Well then, yeah, that's definitely why I didn't buy it.
But would you recommend it in the end?
I'd recommend it on sale on PSN, but it is crazy. It's 7 hours also. Like
really?
This took an entire day of like, I did some editing. I ate some food.
Interesting. Okay, sure. All right. So yeah, seven hours
like,
long.
And that's just the, like, not the actual combat parts, just the like cut scenes. So it is a crazy long game.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I don't know. Like I can't wait to watch that game because I'm gonna watch Jesse Cox's playthrough. Because if anything, even if the game's bad, that man could be very entertaining over a bad game. So I will watch that, and if I like it, I'll buy it. But definitely, David Cage has never done a game that I've been particularly enamored with, and his storytelling scheme or his style isn't my thing. But we'll see as time goes on. And with that, Thorvaldsen, is that all you've done?
I've been playing some more Spelunky, but yeah, other than that, that's it.
Cool. Anything done in your non-playing video games time? Done anything interesting in the real world recently? Watch any movies?
Saw Beetlejuice.
Oh, man.
In theaters.
Was that the first time you've seen Beetlejuice or not?
No.
Okay, cool.
It's just like, I just figure it's Halloween. I've been wanting to try and get some friends to play like some spooky stuff, like maybe some Nightmare House 2, but they just don't seem to respond to me on Steam or don't want to play it. It's like, oh, I'm too busy playing Pokemon. We got to record the Scotch cast. I don't want to do that game right now.
Yeah, I was like straight up, no, I want to play Pokemon so hard. So hard right now. Oh, God. I'm getting, like, right here, I'm sitting here recording this podcast, and I'm staring pretty hard at my 3. I'm surprised I'm not playing it and just, like, pretending to you.
I'm sorry to listeners who have to deal with the sound, but this is sort of why I'm playing Spelunky right now, is because these guys didn't want to play a spooky game for Halloween.
It's true.
Wait, what? I never said no. What?
Well, that's
you're never
true.
Online.
You know, yeah. You just.
I'm always online. What are you fucking talking about? I'm just.
Okay, yeah, you're always online. I jump on Mumble, and you're always muted.
Yeah, it's just because you've caught me at a bad time.
When is a good time?
When, like, if it's on a weekend between some time when I'm having a good time.
Nibirama, what have you been doing for the last, like, month since we've seen you?
I haven't been playing a lot of video games. I've been playing...
You had one job! One job to do!
I've been playing one video game a lot, but, like, I don't know... Like, I know you guys are sort of interested in Hearts of Iron 3, but I don't want to spoil any of the story for you.
Right.
So I guess I'll talk about some of the other games I've been playing. Played about like an hour of Resident Evil 5 today. It's shit. Played some Assassin's Creed 3. It's okay. And
Was it too hard for you, Assassin's Creed 3?
No, it's really easy.
Okay,
the combat.
So it's right up your alley then, you piece of shit.
Yeah, it was good. I bought Civilization 5 Gods and Kings expansion, overheated my computer and made it turn off, so shit. And Betrayer, which is an indie game. So which should I talk about? Oh, and Skullgirls. That I played a lot.
All right, I want to hear about.
I want to hear about Skullgirls.
Skullgirls.
You've been playing that.
Okay.
With PC Gaming
Skullgirls. Or... Pardon?
Have you been playing that with the PC Gaming?
I've been playing with Mr. Wox, and not a lot of people own this game, which is a fucking shame because I don't really play fighting games, but this game is really, really good. Like, it's a 2D sort of fighting game, and when like the female characters high kick, all of them are female characters. You get to see their panties. That's all I have to say about this game. You get to see their panties.
Before we get all in up in arms, and this is no way me defending the argument, I'm just trying to inform some people. It's done in like they're sort of playing to the anime, like, I guess
they're playing to
1980s.
Me,
80s, yeah, okay, not to your crowd, but they're trying to imitate that style,
yeah,
of classic anime
outside of like
the fact that the main art lead for that team is female, which apparently should make the argument better, but I'm just stating facts.
Man. There were Jews involved in the Holocaust. Doesn't mean that the Holocaust was okay there, unless that's what you're trying to
say. Brilliant metaphors from Nooberama.
It's all tongue in cheek. It's not disgustingly distasteful or anything, I found.
But even beyond that, it's not even a particularly like evocative or sexually interesting art style. They're all just like all the characters, like, it's maybe you can say it's anime influenced, but they're like, there's a chick with arms on her head and normal arms.
Yeah, but they all have like big breasts.
I'm looking at a couple of characters now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, no, one of them has but she's pretty flat. I don't know.
That's because it's like a little girl.
What, peacock? With the crazy arms that have eyes on them.
Outside of this weird discussion, the game is super solid. Like, I don't really play fighting games. I don't play that much, so I can't really say compared to other fighting games. I play like Super Street Fighter 4, some Tekken, some Soul Calibur.
Mm-hmm.
Soul Calibur.
There's only like 6 characters out right now. They're releasing one every other month or something like that, it seems like, through free DLC for the people who already own the game.
Yeah.
It's very... It's very good. That's all I can really say. I don't
as a
really
person
like
who doesn't
games,
play many fighting games, it's
I,
a good fighting game.
As someone who doesn't really like fighting games, I found this game to be quite addicting. Like, it just, I want to be better at this game. Tag team mode. The concept is really simple, but it's like the audio is very tongue-in-cheek and fun, and so are some of the moves. They're pretty hilarious. So, it's really cheap. It's 15 bucks for the game, and I got like the skin pack for another $5. The characters are all really interesting. They're not very common, like their skills and stuff like that. So if you are looking for a cheap fighting game to pick up, this is the one to do it. The downside, there's just not a particularly lot amount of characters, and if you don't like this sort of art style, this game might not be for you as well. And yeah, right. Next thing.
Here's the big seller for this game. Since it is a fighting game, how is the latency online?
Had no trouble playing with someone from the United Kingdom, and we both have bad internet.
Yeah, it was Woxen in the UK and Noob in Canada.
Woxen, like a tiny city in the UK.
Yeah. Well, he lives in a town. He lives in an actual town in the UK. It's not even in a city. And he had no problems? That's actually good to hear.
No.
It's good to hear.
He had problems when he was hosting it, but once I hosted it, it was fine.
Cool.
But that wasn't a latency issue. It was just like a computer report thing. So I played Dark Souls for an hour, died, and quit. And that game. What else did I play? Shoot.
Are you a premium member on Giant Bomb?
No, I didn't renew my...
Those have been so good.
Any premium members... Vinny Caravella is playing, is it Dark Souls or Demon Souls?
It's Dark Souls.
Okay. With the help of Ian the Programmer and Rory.
Yeah, like Loda Last Save was a feature he and Drew did like last year or the year before, where Vinny had an old Xbox and he brought his old Xbox to the office and just chucked in video games to see when his last save was on those games, and then play from there with like no preamble and try to figure it out and finish the game. So some of the loadout saves were just absolutely fucking fantastic, like Freedom Fighters and a couple of others.
That game
Halo,
was fucking awesome.
Yeah, like a bunch of those would be awesome, but because of timing and scheduling and the fact that Vinny and Drew are their only video guys, they couldn't necessarily continue doing that feature on a regular basis. But what happened instead is they're using the same theme for Dark Souls, in that Vinny had a game save that was like 60 hours into the game and pretty close to the end, so he's playing from there. And so it's like, Ian is actually really knowledgeable. He surprised me in how much he knew about Dark Souls. Rory is pretty good, but he's finally got to the point where he no longer knows what's happening anymore because Vinny's passed where he was up to. So yeah, if you liked watching Rory play Dark Souls on his channel on Twitch, then it's like that, but better because it's Vinny. And Rory's still there. It's great. So Noob, what else have you played? You played some indie game that sounded interesting. What was it?
Pardon? A what?
An indie game that you said?
Okay, so I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's Betrayer. It's set in like the colonial Americas era. So it's like the 1600s.
I heard about it, but the thing I heard most was like there was a special team of people who were working on it or something.
I played 10
I'll see if I can look this
so
up.
I couldn't tell you much about it. But essentially, right, what
is the main thing about Betrayer? Tell me.
It's like, it's very visually, what I've seen so far is mostly visual. So the game starts out like in its default setting, it's grayscale, or it's like really sharp contrast black and white. And red is the only color that's shown if you play it just, what is it called, in its default setting. And I just, the time period seems really interesting. It's like sort of an action adventure, not a horror, because it doesn't seem scary, but it's sort of like fighting ghosts and things like that. And it just, visually, it looks very interesting. It's still in the early access stage, so I had a lot of lag issues, and it wasn't like frames per second lag, but like just jankiness lag. So I'll definitely talk more about it as I remember to launch the game at some point this year. But
okay, here we go.
It looks promising.
It's a six-person team, and it's key people from Fear and No One Lives Forever.
Okay, that's interesting.
And they spent about a year working on, which No One Lives Forever. That's like just a Bond game. What is that?
It's a comedy Bond game. Is it? Who made Nolf again? Shit, I want to say it was Double Fine, but it's not. It's Monolith.
No, it's definitely not.
That's hilarious. Monolith also made Fear, so Fear and Nolf are made by the same people. There you have it.
So yeah, it's like it's takes place on like Roanoke Colony Island or something, I think.
Yeah,
it's a jungle sort of environment.
Hmm.
But
yes,
Betrayer...
it's not jungle. It's essentially like vast forest. I guess that's just like virgin forest. Is that the term for it?
Yes.
It's like,
oh, what's like a
unclaimed colony,
like Jamestown, Virginia, or something like that. So it is just at the very cusp of the founding of the 13 colonies. So It is that sort of time period. I found it interesting, so I bought it. I need to play more of it. So the next one is...
Well, before you go on,
yes,
I do have some questions, at least one question about Betrayer, in that this is the game, I'm just looking at some images of what I think is this game. It's like a completely black and white game where...
You can turn off the black and white if you want.
Okay, well, I heard it's blue, black and white, except for...
Red.
The bad guys, which are in color, right? They're in red?
No, the bad guys are red. Parts of them are red.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the clothes are red, but everything else is just straight up.
I just wandered. I'll be honest. I just wandered around the game. I didn't see any bad guys yet. But right. Red is the only color that's shown, but yet there is a slider in the options. I don't know if this is just the beta thing, but you can turn off the red and gray, or red and, or what am I fucking
black
saying?
And white
and black. And turn it into just regular color. Yeah.
Oh, good. Because, well,
yeah.
I'm not sure, because it looks really visually distinctive in that it's a full-on...
It does, but my eyes start hurting. So
exactly, because it's a full-on action game in that beautiful black and white.
You can change the level of the contrast, which is nice. So if it's too sharp, like the contrast, then you can definitely change it around.
Yeah, because I don't think they've... I don't remember any straight-up FPS, like first-person shooters... which are black and white, because you do use that element of contrast, and silhouetting is much more difficult because, for example, when you have it with the contrast on default by the looks of things, something that's shadowed, right, if they're standing in front of another shadow, they're invisible. like pretty much invisible.
Well, it's very sharp, but at the same time, I feel like it's part of it, like so things can hide in plain sight or something like that.
It's really interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. So I do have to play a bit more of it. They don't have too much. They only have, it's only like less than a gigabyte right now. Mm-hmm. So as more things get added on, it is still early access. I can report on it. But it looks cool. That's what I can say. Cool. Next thing I played. I played this game for 6 minutes and deleted it. It's called Takedown Red Saber. Thurb, did you end up getting this game?
I didn't get the game, but I heard about it from the original Kickstarter. It was like a bunch of guys who really enjoyed the Tom Clancy sort of gameplay.
Have never played a Tom Clancy. I can say this, that it is the worst game I've bought and played in my life. I've never bought a game that's worse than this.
I've heard the reviews of it, like, since its release have not been, released to the public at least, have not been positive.
Like, it's not even like, they failed to deliver on their promises, and it's just a bad game. I don't know how to I feel swindled. I wanted my money back so much. I've never had that with a game where I immediately wanted my money back. I had pre-purchased the game because it's like, even if it wasn't that good, it'd be just like playing Rainbow Six
Three. This is amazing.
Rainbow Six 3, Raven Shield, or something like that.
Oh man, it's so bad right now. Just fix your shit.
People think we're doing mad editing tricks to put these sound filters in. No,
is it better?
Is real.
Is it better?
Yeah. It's
okay,
fine.
So it's like, you can treat. Let me just tell you how this game works. You launch the game, and then you can choose a loadout. The loadouts are loadout 1, 2, 3, 4. Of course, you don't know what the loadouts are because it doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
And then you launch the game, and then you're on a really boring and drably designed ship. And then you encounter an enemy. They stare at you. You shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They stare at you. You shoot. They turn the other way and start shooting.
Nice.
What else is also, anyone who's ever played Moonbase Alpha, the only redeeming part of this game is its horrible fucking text-to-speech. That's fun. But then they took it out. So they took out the only redeeming part of the game. So if you ever want to... Actually, just don't buy this game. I can't even think of what... it's so fucking shit. I can't even describe how shit it is by just describing it. Think of the worst game you can think of. Okay, it's not that bad, but it's really bad, essentially. So just don't buy the game. It's shit. I want my money back, and I've never... I didn't think you could fuck up a game this badly. Like, child.
How are you getting this from 6 minutes?
Huh?
How are you getting all of this from 6 minutes of play?
I just described 6 minutes of gameplay to you. You walked around, and then the AI was fucking broken. And they don't tell you what the loadouts are. They claim it's realism that they don't tell you the loadouts because in real life, special forces units don't know what weapons they carry into battle.
That checks out. That's factual. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
They fact checked it.
They all get like a mystery bag.
The screenshots looked so fucking promising. I've never been more disappointed in a game in my life.
I think a lot of people will look back at this game because I think Patrick Klepek, I think it was him. It might have been on just a generic podcast, but they were talking about like you've seen the successes of Kickstarter with like do we want to count the FTL as a Kickstarter game?
Wouldn't it have happened anyways, regardless of Kickstarter though?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, okay, we've seen definitely the failure of Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is this game.
Because
this is a finished game. There's been other games that have been like, oh, we didn't finish in time.
Yeah.
But it might have been Ryan Davis even. Rest in peace. But it's like we need to see both a success and a failure for Kickstarter before everyone can prove that it is a viable.
We've clearly seen a failure.
Yeah.
I feel bad for some people because I know people who've kickstarted it for $100. So essentially they gave money to a bunch of people who deserve to die. Honestly, if you develop this game, I hope you and your family die very slow deaths.
What was the name of that game again?
Takedown Red Saber. No Red Saber in the game and you can't take anyone down.
So don't buy it.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Yep. You played an hour of that. Are you planning to play more of that?
Three hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, so this is how I play Assassin's Creed games. I sprint, I kill a guard, kill a bunch of other guards, and leave a pile of bodies, run away, kill a bunch of other guards, mm-hmm. and like straight up fighting. I don't like assassinating. I think that's cowardly. You attack okay. the enemy from the front where they can see you.
Yep. Sure.
And essentially, I think my stats were something like before I finished the second mission, so once I got straight onto the main place, mm-hmm. I think I got like 350 kills.
Holy maybe shit.
98 fight ratio or something like that in my first
what
few hours.
What the fuck?
So I just went around killing people. I really love the fighting. It's just so simple, but mm-hmm. it's just visually nice. Yeah. The bayonets are especially cool. I just like the time period is yes. why I ended up getting it. But it's a fucking shame you can't kill civilians without desyncing. I just mm-hmm. want to go around killing civilians.
Nice.
Yeah.
So have you played much of the missions that? Because I think what will turn you off is the rigid, like... the missions that are rigidly you cannot be seen and that kind of stuff, which
oh.
is
okay. Fuck. Well, yeah. I don't plan on playing because I don't plan on playing the missions. I've been playing the multiplayer with a couple people, which oh, was cool. really fun.
Yeah.
The multiplayer is actually really fun.
Yeah, totally, dude.
So I guess what I'm getting out of this is multiplayer and going around killing random people.
Nice.
Which is a shame because apparently killing hundreds of British soldiers who I feel are innocent is not nearly as bad as killing one civilian. For all we know, could be a serial rapist.
Sure.
Aside from
that, oh, right. that glaring political commentary.
I played an hour of Resident Evil 5.
Uh-huh.
I don't like Resident Evil. Never played a Resident Evil game until today. I don't really like it.
What else have you been doing?
Just because it was scary, or...?
No, it's not scary. I played it co-op. It's just not fun. I think I'll play more of it because I bought it. But
so 5 is the one post 4 where it has like the revamped controls and it's actually rated pretty highly. People really
it rated highly. It's just it's not yeah. bad. It's just, yeah. I don't find it particularly good.
Yeah. It's not the latest one which rated terribly. It's the
good, yeah. It's the one that rated one well. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like there was something really important I wanted to say on this podcast, but I forgot. So. I read books. I don't know. I watched Korean movies and cried.
What Korean movies did you watch?
I fucking hate Korean movies because they're
so fucking love Korean movies because they're amazing. Well,
not action ones. I'm not talking about old boy. I'm talking about like the typical like Korean dramas that are super sappy. And
well, for example, we'll say Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance was not an action movie.
That's by the same director who did Old Boy. So that's like a separate thing. I'm talking, that's an exception to the rule.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like the one I watched, that which I'm pissed off it got me, but it did get me for a bit. Mm-hmm. What is it called? It's like some guy with a mental disorder gets charged with a crime he did
Madeo?
Not commit. Huh?
Madeo? Mother? Is that the movie?
No. Oh, no, that's not it.
It's
like, it came out this year. It's like,
oh, okay.
Miracle in Cell Number 6 or something like that. It's like the total sappy, like, oh, and then everyone learns to love him in the cell.
What?
And they try to get him back.
Wait, what?
With his daughter. Because he's like the sort of, he's like Forrest Gump almost. He's like the friendly, mentally challenged person who's mm-hmm. like a really do-gooder. Like he's got a heart of gold. But yeah, so he gets convicted for murdering and raping a child, but he didn't do it. She just fell and died. And
wait, so this is pretty much the Green Mile, but...
I don't know. But he gets... Okay, I'll spoil it for you. He dies. They sentence him to death and he mm-hmm. dies. And they yeah, don't stop him.
So it's totally Green Mile.
That's the Green Mile? I haven't seen the Green Mile.
But they added some rape.
Oh,
he got convicted of rape, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the
they
children?
Convicted of rape.
Yeah, but
well,
he didn't actually do it.
What happens is like, and then it's just like flashbacks of the daughter later on in court trying to clear his name.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
Oh.
But it's really sappy and shit. So there you have it. But
there's so many excellent Korean. I think Korean cinema is some of the best in the world.
I think you're only thinking of specific movies.
Of the high water points? Yeah.
In general, it's just like. Let's make it super melodramatic and sappy. That's what movies have been. So
but you know what? I'd rather that than like Two Guns.
What is Two Guns?
Two Guns is the movie that just came out with Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg, and they're two dudes who shoot stuff.
Fuck. Yeah, but that's not that. That's like, I guess so. Yes.
Yeah. See.
Yes.
When you're comparing that to Hollywood, I know what I prefer for the most case. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some Hollywood's still pretty good. I've yet to watch Gravity.
I think that's it. I think like I read a book. I read a shitload of books. Like that's been my go-to thing.
Yeah, dude. Same. I don't know.
Book.
All right. So let's move on to what I've been doing. So I'll get you off the hook.
Okay.
So Pokemon, Fire Emblem, and Super Mega Tensei 4.
Oh, God. None of those. Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Cool. Shin Megami Tensei 4 reminded me that I like Persona better than Shin Megami Tensei. Mainly because the characters are lame and I hate having to converse with demons to be able to recruit them.
What is the difference?
So the main difference between them are with Persona, you fight demons, and after your battle, you can usually capture one of them through shuffle time. It's just a nice little mini game that allows you to capture demons with no problems. With Shin Megami Tensei, you actually open the battle, you start fighting, and then you have to choose an option to talk to the demon. And the demon will propose to you it wouldn't be a pact. It would just be like, oh, do you think I'm pretty? And you get like a couple of options. And depending on your options, almost randomized, they can either like your answer or not like your answer. And there's like five levels of that before that you recruit them. So every time you want to recruit a monster, which is like, it's like a Pokemon-esque game where you want to recruit everything. So you end up like spending half an hour when you enter a dungeon just recruiting the monsters in the area. And if you anger them, they attack you. And the game's not easy, so like you can get worn out just because you're trying to recruit monsters. So I ended up just saving and reloading a bunch and having a meh time of it. But the main, most damning thing about Shin Megami Tensei 4 is that the plot and story and voice acting isn't particularly interesting. And Troy Baker is, again, just playing Troy Baker in it. So, God damn it. I'm sick of that guy when he doesn't put
any
effort.
Do we think there's just going to be like... Because Nolan North has actually gone to the, like, now that he is no longer the main person to get, like, these gigs,
mm-hmm.
like, he's been able to do some sort of, like, I didn't actually realize that's, you know, Nolan North. He sounds so much different, so much more different.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like David in The Last of Us, no one knew he was Nolan North until after where you saw the credits. It was just like, he does some really great work, but Troy Baker can do good work, but most of the time he just plays Troy. It's like when Nolan North first became famous and everyone got him to play Nathan Drake in everything he was in. It's like that, but just Troy Baker's normal ass voice. So that was Shin Megami Tensei. I'm still playing it, but it is nowhere near as interesting as Pokemon because, yeah, I just... The mechanics are solid.
Nowhere near as interesting as Pokemon.
Like, the mechanics are solid. The gameplay is pretty good.
Did you hear that? Not nearly as good as Pokemon.
And this is the
game. I heard it.
This is like two games, and I can round out Fire Emblem in a similar way. That game was really mechanically excellent, but I got overpowered by the end of it, so it was boring, and the plot was meh. Like, so both Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei 4, the two games I bought a 3DS for, aside from Ace Attorney, were meh. So I'm pretty damn annoyed at the moment as to the support for the 3DS so far. But yeah, Fire Emblem I'd probably give an 8 out of 10, and I can't rate Shin Megami Tensei 4 yet because I've only just started it, really. I've only put like 8 hours into it. Then I played Pokemon, and I don't know how much do you guys want me to talk about Pokemon? I don't know.
I'm like, you can literally talk about it as much as you feel you should talk about it, but okay. Like, not more than only as much as people need to hear about Pokemon in their everyday life.
Listeners at home might not realize this, but as New Brahma started saying that, a little Steam notification came up on Thurbleton's screen that said, "New Brahma has started playing Skyrim." So well, I think what New Brahma was saying is you can talk about it, but you will probably not have our undivided attention, Cynic.
Oh, no, man. I was playing Skyrim. I just had to relaunch it anyway. It's not like I wasn't playing Skyrim this entire time. What are you taking me for? Someone who listens actively?
Man, I if you've played a past Pokemon game but haven't played a Pokemon game in a long time, you should play this one. Like, if you've ever liked a Pokemon game. Sorry?
Also, if you have a 3DS?
Yeah, you have to have a 3DS.
That's the only ones. Okay.
Or a 2DS. You can get a 2DS for this game. This is Pokemon X.
X. Yeah. And why?
Well, I'm playing X.
The difference? I never knew the difference between why they release like five Pokemon games.
So they always have a legendary that's exclusive to either, and both always have like slight differences in the Pokemon you can find in the wild. That's it.
Can you trade between games?
So
if you buy both, you can get both.
Yeah, you can. I was going to say that the Mega Evolution for Charizard is different for both, I think, as well. So I got an X Charizard Mega Evolves into this like black badass looking fire dragon type. In Y, he becomes like he stays fire flying and he just gets a third horn. It looks pretty much the same. But no, like there's only slight difference between the two. But yeah, if you've ever played a Pokemon game before, this because they've changed it enough that it feels fresh for the first time since like Pokemon Red, like from Pokemon Red all the way through Black and White and Black and White 2, they've just pretty much been the same over and over and over, like the same pixel art, the same battle animations or very similar battle animations, at least at a minimum the same battle like style. It's looked the same with the four options at the bottom and the two enemies like top bottom left and top right corner and all that stuff, aside from like 2-on-2 battles and shit, but whatever, like they've been almost unchanged until now, at least from a visual standpoint and like a aesthetic, just overall aesthetic standpoint, that the fact that they've just changed that, like let alone all the other stuff they changed, means like this is like pretty much a breath of fresh air into Pokemon that it's like totally needed for since forever. But then you have like other things, like you don't only choose whether you're a boy and a girl, you can actually choose your skin tone now, and you're not stuck with it either. Like I chose that at the start, and then you actually like other games now, but now it's in your damn Pokemans. You can get your hair cut and like you can change your clothes.
Is it still like that? Still like 16-bit weird sound?
No, it's all like 3D now. It's all like 3D.
Really? What?
Yeah. I walked into a town and it was like a full-size town. I was walking, there's like cars around and there's like people walking in the streets. Well, yeah, but before they'd just be like,
why the fuck did Ash just walk around for like 59 episodes a year? What the fuck?
I try to remember if he ever like caught a ride. I think he did at some point. Like, at some point, I know he took boats.
He's been on a boat.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, and in old Pokemon games, there'd be cities and stuff, but because all that pixel art style, like you'd never really got a sense of size.
Large towns.
Exactly. But here you walk in and it's like you're on like a behind the back perspective. It's not even top down and it's all polygonal. And like there's a city rising around you. And it's just like little things like that totally changes how Pokemon feels on like a tiny level. Like I got a haircut and now I have like a different hat than when I started and different shirt than when I started. And remember, like all the Pokemon till now, even though you never played Ash, you were essentially playing Ash. Like you had the same haircut, the same fucking clothes or very similar clothes and like a very similar hat. And you did that for the whole thing. And I was worried about that when I started. But even the smallest thing of being able to change your hair color. So now I'm like this. Straight up, I named my dude Shepherd. And then. I named him Shepherd. And then you can give yourself a nickname. So you walk up to your friends, like, hey, you should give you a nickname. And they're like, okay, that's not how nicknames work, but sure. And so they're like, hey, how about like Lil S? And then. Another one goes, no, that's stupid. How about Big S? That sounds cooler. And then it's like, which do you want? Do you want Little S or Big S? Or do you want Other? So I picked Other and I just typed in Commander. So now when I talk to anyone, Now when I talk to any of my friends, they're like, "Hey, Commander," and like, "Hey, Commander, that was great." And it was just like totally weird little things like that that totally changes how Pokemon feels and how dumb it is, and in all the right ways. So now I'm Commander Shepard with this series of Pokemon. The fact that you get two starters now, so I have a water type and a fire type, well, and Charmander, because obviously you get Charmander. So now I have two starters and everything like that is different. It feels all different. The animations are wonderful. The music is playing upon the old one, but now it's all orchestrated in a lot of interesting ways, but still really close to its roots in a lot of good ways as well. But it's gotten to the point where you don't even need to be a person who has played a previous Pokemon. Like, if you've ever even been interested in a Pokemon, it's now like just a solid JRPG with a collection mechanic that is well animated and with really decent production values. And a lot of the stuff that other RPGs have had for such a long time is now in your Pokemon. Like, you can battle over the net now. You can trade over the net now. Like, there's...
Over all the this, net?
Yeah. Over the internet now. It's just like, it's what Pokemon, what I'd hoped Pokemon would be when the PS3 launched. Like, at the start of that last generation, I've always wanted a Pokemon game on a console that felt like a console game. And they finally did it in this one. And it feels like a fully fledged console Pokemon, but you're playing it on your 3DS. And
Would you say this is like the biggest leap from any Pokemon game ever?
Absolutely. 100%. This feels like Pokemon Reborn into the present.
This is actually a different game almost.
Yeah.
Something I'm curious about is a lot of people have said like they need to go ahead and make a Pokemon MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a decent enough take on one?
It's kind of crazy because, like I said before, that it's all full-size city. Well, it felt like you're surrounded by city buildings and stuff. But if you actually take a step back and look at the game from a objective point of view, everything's still really small. And Pokemon has never made sense because in the games, you go to a full-size city and there's maybe 3 people or 5 people on the street and like a couple of houses. So, and like the only jobs anyone ever has is a Pokemon researcher or works in a radio station or is a gym leader. Like there's no fullness to the world, or maybe a fisherman or a boat guy. That's essentially it. Like there's only like 10 professions, 10 people in any given town, and just like
that actually checks out for an MMO. There's usually 10 professions you can play. it's
perfect. But like, and if you look at this Pokemon and you look at a town, it's still like 3 houses and that's a town. So it's just, it's parts of it make a lot of sense in that you walk into a city and everything's full-sized and it feels like a big living place. But if you actually look at it from an objective point of view, no, nothing here is of the scale or complexity of a real world, let alone an MMO. And MMOs tend to be larger than life, not smaller than life, because they have to accommodate more people who are constantly doing stuff. So no, this is just them bringing Pokemon into the present. It's not them catapulting Pokemon into the future. It's not that. It's not getting Pokemon to where I think it should be in 2015, but it is... Yeah, how I described previously, it's how I always wanted Pokemon to be when the previous console generation started, like when the PS3 and Xbox 360 started revolutionizing games in their own ways. Yeah, it's finally gotten to that point. So, no. Any other questions? Like, Pokemon's awesome. Like, you have a 3DS, go fucking buy Pokemon. It's so good. It's so good. There's a reason why, like, everyone else we know has been just fucking playing Pokemon. Thurbleton, any more questions about Pokemon?
Nah, that's pretty much set.
Cool. All right.
Do you want to be the very best?
Fuck yeah, like no one ever was. And as soon as we finish recording this, I'm going to play some more of that. That's my plan for the rest of the day.
You are in pretty deep, aren't you?
Damn straight. Well, the cool thing with Pokemon is you know it's going to be about 20 hours long, and then I'll put it down and never play another one for like 3 years or 4 years, and then there'll be a new one. I'll play that one. But yeah, so that's it. Bad restaurant, which didn't impress Nuburama because he's been to worse, which is fair. Fire Emblem, I'd give an 8 out of 10. It was pretty meh. Tsumaki Tensei is well under expectations for me, which is kind of sad. And the last thing I did. The thing that made me the most happy over my last month of existence was I popped in the freaking Ace Attorney Dual Destinies / Phoenix Wright 5 demo from the 3DS store, and I only needed to play it for about 3 minutes before I was just so over the moon happy, and I cannot fucking wait for that game to come out, because holy shit. Can't wait. And it's coming out in 2 weeks. So, yes. If people were wondering what my impressions of the demo were, I didn't even need that demo to fully sell me on the game. I was already sold, but it just made me more excited. More excited than I already was. And one last note on Pokemon is leave it on 2D, because when you put on 3D, that thing fucking chugs during battle. Like, it hits like 15 frames a second during battle if you leave it on 3D, which is kind of weird. And with that, that's what we've been doing for the majority of what we planned for this Scotchcast. Any news we want to talk about?
Oh, I have news.
Go ahead.
Went to a tea and crepe shop the other day. That was good.
Nice.
And that's your Scotchcast News Minute with Anu Brahma.
I had a savory crepe with meatballs.
No, you only get 1 minute. It's
been less than a minute, and I had Earl Grey.
It's New York minute.
It's good.
Aww. Was it hot? It's good. Was your tea Earl Grey hot?
Yes, of course. You drink. They essentially, you pay $2 extra along with the crepe to get an entire pot of tea. So I was like full on tea.
Okay,
it was pretty cool.
Any requests for music for this show, Doubleton Nuburama?
I mean, to be honest, I figured the show would be over when Noob and I were talking about the Nuburama News Minute. That seemed like a good ending right there. But now that I've talked about it, this might still be in it.
Yeah, we're still in.
I am still recording, so
yeah,
it depends who's editing and publishing.
Any plugs? Doubleton, any plugs?
No. You've already ended.
Did you have that
thing? My YouTube page?
Yeah, YouTube page. What was your YouTube page?
Well, I mean, anybody who cares, my YouTube page would be youtube.com/user/NaptownClimber.
Interesting. All right, cool.
It mostly has rock climbing videos.
I called Nuburama Shinboy. Nuburama, any plugs?
PC Gaming Hub.
Cool. And my plug would be check out the Phoenix Wright demo. If you've never played Phoenix Wright, check out the Phoenix Wright demo. It encompassed everything I love about the craziness and stupidity and just outright Phoenix Wrightness of Phoenix Wright. And I can't wait for that game. So with that,
it's Phoenix Wright.
Did you have anything to? Goddamn. Thank you for listening and goodbye.